Welcome back to the table, ladies. Connie Stemple is our teacher today. Hey, Connie, welcome back.
Hello again.
We are in our Bible study, ladies, and we are in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. So if you have your Bibles open there. But Connie, this one you've titled Christ's Suffering and Triumph. So I have a feeling I know where we're going with this one.
All right.
Well, why don't I read the verse, and then I'll let you do what you do best, and that is teach. 18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with the angels, authorities, and powers have been subjected to him."
All right. Thank you, Amy. You know, just ending up there, we see already Christ is glorified.
Yes.
And so that end result of his suffering, you know, in God's economy, in the end, he makes all things right. And
yes.
So that's going to be our hope, because we ourselves will be glorified with Christ. But here in this section of Scripture, Peter is giving us just an incredibly beautiful verse about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us in his suffering and death. And so we're going to concentrate on that for a couple minutes. Peter writes, "For Christ also suffered once for sins." And really that speaks to Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins.
Yes.
We're sinners. God is holy. The just due for sin is death. And so Jesus Christ is the one who died for us. And so we find here that the idea of, again, Jesus died and paid the penalty for our sins. And then it goes on and says, "the righteous for the unrighteous." And here we have the concept of substitution. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, died for you and me, Amy, Nancy, all of us, because we are unrighteous. And that's a beautiful doctrine, because none of us as a human person born in sin can be righteous. We have
yes.
sinned, and so we can't do that. And so Jesus Christ is our substitute. And so that's the second part of what's going on in this verse. And then the third part is that he might bring us to God. And what a beautiful thing. We are now reconciled to God because Jesus Christ, the righteous one, not only paid the penalty for our sin and took God's wrath for our sin, but now he actually gives us his righteousness so that we can come close to God,
yes.
a holy God. And so we have another scripture that talks about righteousness and how we gain Christ's righteousness. And Amy, if you'll read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it's also going to bring home that same idea of what Jesus Christ has done for us.
Okay, it says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God."
All right. Thank you, Amy. You know, last time when we were together, we were talking about how is it that you would explain why you're a Christian and
yeah.
what the gospel is. And here Peter's giving us the answer. Bottom line is, we are sinners.
Yes.
And we need a Savior. And God has done it through Jesus Christ. But he's also done it through suffering. And so we keep coming back in 1 Peter here about the idea that if we belong to Christ, we may be called to suffer. Not the same way he did. We couldn't, because we can't achieve something that would make us one with God or have that atonement for our sins. But we may be called to be like him and mm-hmm. do that in the world. And so that would be God working in and through us for his purposes and ultimately for our good. So that's what Peter is doing here. He's showing us the example of Jesus Christ and his suffering, and then ultimately what's going to be his glorification or exaltation, his triumph. And so we're going to talk about that for a little bit, because then it says, Jesus Christ being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. His human body could die, but he could not stay dead. That eternal spirit of who he is was resurrected. And various places in the New Testament talks about Jesus Christ having life in himself, about God the Father raising him from the dead, and also about the Holy Spirit doing it. So all three persons of the Godhead were involved in Jesus Christ rising from the dead. A good thing.
Yes.
And so that's, and truly we're going to find as we go on and further in 1 Peter here in chapter 4, verse 6, it's talking about us being alive in the spirit. And so because he lives, we will live.
Yes.
And that's what's the good news. So actually, and just so we remember, when we talk about the good news, we talk about Jesus Christ died for our sins, but he was raised again, meaning our God accepted his sacrifice, and we also will live with him. We've got life eternal. So that's a good thing.
It is.
Going back here to 1 Peter to finish out the next couple of verses, I will just share with you, these are very difficult verses, and yeah. Bible scholars debate and have strong opinions about what it means, and I will just say, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I do know it's talking about Jesus Christ and his salvation of us, but the specifics of it, we could talk and we could have coffee together and we could look through scripture and we still might disagree about some parts of it, but yeah. The main thing is what Jesus Christ has done. So I'll read the next parts and then just share a little bit about what some of the difficulty is. Verse 19 then says, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits of heaven, meaning in the spirit, Jesus Christ went and proclaimed to spirits in prison. And the best understanding, the Bible scholars do agree that Jesus Christ, in between his death and his physical resurrection, when he was seen by people, spent some time perhaps in hell. And he was proclaiming or preaching or saying something to spirits who are in prison. And so spirits in prison means somebody who is wicked or mm-hmm. arrogant or is against God. And the question is, we don't know if those are human spirits or perhaps angel spirits. And there are some scriptures in the study guide here you could look up in Genesis and also in 2 Peter and in Jude that indicate possibly could be humans. At the time of Noah, because God destroyed the entire world, except for those in the ark because of their wickedness, or perhaps whatever, those beings, whoever it's referring to, that they called themselves sons of God and did great wickedness in Genesis 6, and God had enough of that, and that was partly why the world was destroyed. I don't know, but we do know Jesus Christ went and proclaimed a message of triumph. He had triumphed over sin and death.
Yeah.
To these spirits in prison. That's the important point, I think. And then going on, verse 20 says, because they formerly did not obey, so we know that these are wicked spirits, either human or angels, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, so we're talking about the days before the flood, when God had told Noah to build the ark and to preach and to tell those people God's way, but that was rejected. Because the only people who got into the ark were Noah and his sons and their wives and his wife, 8 people. And then it goes on and it talks about that ark. It says, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. And the main point here really is that that water, the flood, was a water of God's judgment. That's how he was destroying the sin and evil of the men that he... felt that his judgment needed to come because of just their incredible wickedness. And again, Noah and those in the ark were brought through that water of judgment. And then we find Peter going on and he says, baptism, which corresponds to this, meaning that those that ark in the waters of judgment now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience. And so if we look at this and we think carefully about what else we know in Scripture, we know that a baptism of a believer in Christ is not what saves us. Scripture right. tells us it's the new life brought about by the Holy Spirit's confessing our sins, turning and trusting in Christ, and being regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what saves us, because we know at least one person in Scripture who was not baptized, and that was the thief on the cross.
Yes.
So baptism itself does not save us. And actually, Peter's referring to that. He says, because not as a removal of dirt from the water. It's not a cleansing that's a human action. It's actually God's action. So then he says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience. And again, that speaks to our sins are forgiven.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus Christ has done. And so for us to understand what Peter's talking about here in baptism, we have to understand in a sense that Jesus Christ was baptized through the waters of God's judgment on the cross. And we're going to be looking at a couple scriptures that are going to help us understand that. In a minute, Amy's going to read one from Romans 6, but I'm going to just tell you about two from the New Testament, or from Jesus' own words, when he was talking about how he was going to be baptized. In Luke 12:50, he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it's accomplished.
Mm.
He's talking about the cross.
Yeah.
And also another instance in Mark, when James and John came to Jesus and said, "We want to be sitting on each side of you when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Do you know what I'm going to be baptized with? Are you able to do this?" And they said, "We're able." And Jesus said, "Well, you will in a sense, but the baptism he was going to go through was going to be bearing the wrath of God for our sins."
Yeah.
So, Amy, if you would read that passage in Romans 6 now, that would help us understand again what being baptized is.
All right, and Connie has picked some of my favorite verses, 3 and 4. It says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life."
Thank you, Amy. And so if we understand Jesus was baptized and went through the floodwaters of God's judgment against our sin, if we are in Christ, in Galatians, Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ," we have joined with him in our death, in his death, so that our sins are taken care of. But he has suffered God's judgment for us. And here throughout 1 Peter, we've been talking again and again about suffering. We have to realize that our Savior suffered more than any other being in the universe, because he suffered God's wrath for my sin and your sin, which is really equivalent to an eternity in hell. And so understanding that, what we've been saved from, and understanding how in Christ, it's like we're in the ark of Noah, and we are saved through those waters of judgment of God for our sin. And so when Peter's talking about this, he's saying, you are joined to Christ, and in Christ you are safe, and you are safe from God's judgment. And that's why we can appeal to God for a good conscience, because our sins are taken care of. And then he goes on and he says it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's what validates our salvation. God accepted Jesus' sacrifice, and now in him we can actually be reconciled to God and spend eternity with God. That's the glory. That's what is the shouting ground, because this life is not all there is. We have a hope of heaven and a hope of eternity with our Lord and Savior. Amy's got a thought, I can tell.
No, I was just smiling, because that is just the best news of all. And Connie, I'm always so blessed when you bring that forth, that light of Scripture to us.
Oh, well, thank you. But, you know, going on then, verse 22, Peter concludes this chapter with saying, "Who, Jesus Christ, has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him." And so Jesus Christ has conquered all. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered our past, and he now reigns. And one day we will be with him. And what a beautiful thing. Whatever happens to us in this world might be difficult, but God is with us, and we will spend eternity with him in heaven.
Amen. The victory has been won, ladies, and I hope that this has blessed you today as it has me. I'm grinning ear to ear at the news that we have of this glorious resurrection, this hope we have in Jesus Christ and what he's already done for us. Ladies, thank you so much for being part of this Bible study. And you know, all of the notes, again, Bible studies, the podcast, everything available for you at naomistable.com. Nancy and I are going to share some thoughts when we come back.